You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Tim Graham's going to join us covering the Buffalo Bills, your AFC East champion Buffalo Bills. That's just 20 minutes away. Jason McIntyre, who hosts the Straight Fire podcast. You can download every day in your iHeartRadio app. Every morning, get up, download it, and you will get some hot take goodness from in J-Mac. Happy New Year to you. A couple days early. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Okay, here's what I want to do, okay? Jason, Booger McFarland last night on Monday Night Football kind of went off on what he thinks the downfall of Dwayne Haskins was and the parallels to young players in the NFL, young African-American players in the NFL. There were parts that I liked. There are parts that I greatly disagree with. But I want to play it. We will not edit it. This is 2 minutes, unvarnished, and then you're
I have
good.
Not heard this.
I know. Many in America have not heard it.
Okay.
Okay? So this is Booger McFarland last night.
You know, unfortunately, I've seen this too many times. Played in the NFL almost a decade. You played a long time. We've been around it for a long time. And oftentimes, young players, especially, and I'm going to go here, especially young African-American players, because they make up 70% of this league. They come into this league and they ask themselves the wrong thing. They come into the league saying not, how can I be a better player? They don't say, how can I be a better teammate? They don't say, how can I be better, a better person? How can I get my organization over the hump? Here's what they come in saying. They come in saying, how can I build my brand better? How can I build my social media following better? How can I work out on Instagram and show everybody that I'm ready to go, but when I get to the game, I don't perform? Dwayne Haskins, unfortunately, is not the first case that I've seen like this.
Yes.
And it won't be the last. And it bothers me because a lot of it is the young African-American player. They come in and they don't take this as a business. It is still a game to them.
They look at it as this football.
This ain't football, right, man. This is a billion-dollar business.
Yes.
It's billions of dollars. They pay us a lot of money to talk about the game. So imagine what they pay these guys to play the game.
Yes. Yeah.
They play a child's game and get paid a king's ransom, and it bothers me because I saw a quarterback do it. I saw Jamarcus Russell do it. The number one pick in the draft, they gave him $40 million, and he threw it down the damn drain because he didn't take it seriously. And it bothers me because there are a lot of jobs like this around.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to tell you, I've been retired a while. It's not a lot of jobs like that around where they will pay you millions of dollars for virtually 6 months of performance. So my message to Dwayne Haskins, not just him, but the rest of the young players in the NFL, man, this is a game, but take it as a business. There are billions, with a B, of dollars at stake. And until you start approaching this game that way, until you start coming to work saying, you know what? What can I do to get better today? What can I do to make sure my teammates are better today? How can I put my organization first instead of my damn Instagram? Take it as a serious business, but too many times it's a game. We want a TikTok. We want to do all these different things. Man, do you understand how much money is at stake?
What do you think, Jace?
I don't know. First impressions are okay. Yeah, we know a lot of that. I didn't think it was groundbreaking stuff. I suppose he was firing some shots at Cam Newton as well with the whole Instagram stuff.
Yeah.
Without saying Cam. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something, but my first thoughts are okay. Thanks, Booger.
I think what he's doing is there's a little bit of old man yelling at the clouds, right? Like this Instagram stuff. I remember a tweet in the offseason. It's still a workout even if you don't post it on the gram, right? I'm in the lab,
yeah.
And. But that is a very popular thing. I think the issue with it is he makes it about the black athlete. And it's like, look, it's not about the black athlete. Like, Dwayne Haskins, do I think he didn't make it because of Instagram? I mean, I think taking a selfie instead of taking a knee when you win a football game is a pretty big indelible impression. But the big thing is, he was not dedicated. He wasn't good enough at his job. Jamarcus Russell wasn't dedicated, wasn't good enough at his job. Mike Vick has admitted when he was in Atlanta, it was all on talent. He wasn't dedicated.
Can I take it away from the black athlete?
I was going to get there too, right? I mean, Johnny Manziel, the story is the same. It is. Like, Johnny Manziel was better off being popular than when he was actually being good at his sport.
All right. I got a better white quarterback. You ready?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield came into this league with a chip on his shoulder, and I get that, okay? But he's out there on Twitter every day, scrolling. Now, this is early in his career, scrolling and liking tweets that are negative about him. He likes some of mine, the stuff that I had said on Fox Sports Radio about how you can't make Baker the number one pick, immaturity. Baker led the league in commercials last year. You know that? That's a fun stat. He led the NFL in commercials last year, and he sucked as a quarterback. And what did he say in the offseason? He said, you know what? I'm going to step away from the social media, and I'm going to focus. And what has happened this year? Baker Mayfield has made a massive leap. And if you remember, Doug, I took so much heat for this. Baker's first appearance, he comes in to spell an injured Tyrod Taylor in Cleveland. It was on Thursday Night Football against my Jets. As soon as Baker wins the game, he walks off the field and his phone is in his hand as he goes to do the interview. You see him looking at his phone. And I said, boy, interesting that the first thing he does after a win is go right on his phone to jump on social media and tell everybody, hey, I won. Hey, let's take the selfies. And man, Doug, I have never had that many people come after me before. The Pardon My Take guys took me to shreds on their podcast. I don't listen to that podcast, but I did listen to what they said. I mean, everybody's coming after me for it. And wouldn't you know it, Doug, 3 years later, it was 100% accurate. Baker was too wrapped up in posing for the gram and jumping on Twitter. He needed to focus on the game, and he moved away from that this year, and he's become a better quarterback. So Booger, to that point, is right.
I think the issue is that Booger circled it into the black athlete. This is just a black athlete problem, right, where it's an all-athlete problem, and it's a football problem. He's right. It is a job. It is a job. And I think look, I caught heat when I repeated the story of the Dwayne Haskins. They wondered if he was dyslexic. You know, when there have been people that have said that race played a factor in why the Bears selected Mitchell Trubisky instead of Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes. Nothing could be further from the truth. Right. How do I know? Because I've actually talked to the Bears guy. Take me through the process of how you selected Mitch Trubisky. And in no part where they were like, well, you know, a black quarterback. Like, why would that actually matter? They want it. NFL GMs, front office people, scouts, what they want to do is they want to keep their job and get a better job. Right. This is a very simple concept. And if a quarterback will help them do that, that's the quarterback that they want. And they had their reasons behind passing on Deshaun Watson was, They didn't like his decision-making in the red zone, and they thought his knee, based upon their medical, would tear again. His knee did, in fact, tear again. And, oh, yeah, by the way, like, Deshaun Watson has almost the exact same record. There's almost the exact same record with the Houston Texans since he got there, as opposed to the 4 years before he got there, including 1-2 in the playoffs. Before he got there, 1-2 in the 4 years before he got there, 1-2 in the playoffs since he's been there. And the regular season records are essentially identical. Mm. It's amazing. They missed on Pat Mahomes.
Am I going to have to get upset? Was that Deshaun Watson's slander I heard or no?
Yes. I mean, I don't know if it's Deshaun Watson's slander. If you consider slander actual indisputable facts,
quarterback
that's
records,
not slander.
That's a stat now, Doug? Come on. Listen.
It's always
Bill
been
O'Brien.
A stat.
Totally,
it's always been a stat.
Royally. Yeah, it's an irrelevant stat. Quarterback records? Come on. Some jabronis were popping the stat.
What are you talking about?
Mitchell
it's the
Trubisky.
Whole stat that matters.
Yeah.
This is the whole stat that matters. Oh, okay, so Matt Stafford is an all-time great quarterback.
How many guys start in the NFL? 11 on offense, 11 defense, but the quarterback record matters?
Yes.
Come on. That's juvenile stuff, Doug. You're way better than quarterback records. That's like saying, Mr. Trubisky has more wins in his last 3 years than Deshaun Watson. He's a better quarterback. Or he's almost on the same level. Not even close. Stop. Okay? Deshaun Watson is surrounded by ineptitude. Bill O'Brien tore that roster to shreds.
No, he's not.
Oh, my
stop.
God. Deshaun Watson
stop.
Should
stop.
Go
stop.
In. I
stop.
Said he should
stop.
Have gone
Plant
into that
feet.
Front office and said, Plant get me the hell out of here or get me some help. This is a joke.
Wait a second. They did get him some help.
Oh,
what they did was they traded their future for a left tackle. Okay, the idea he doesn't
they traded
have help,
Hopkins
like, what do you...
for a running back who's a joke. Okay, that J.J. Watt rant. Go listen to that. Who do you think that's about? Like the entire Texans roster? Okay? There was an SI piece about this guy, Jack Easterby, who helped tear that whole thing down. Watson is a great quarterback surrounded by jokers.
He's not surrounded by jokers.
Oh, my
gosh. They won the exact same amount of games before he got there, when Bill O'Brien was there, with Rick Smits, who was a terrible general manager, as they did in the last 4 years. They just have. Okay? So you can tell me that Bill O'Brien did everything to tear it down this year. He had DeAndre Hopkins in previous years with the worst division in football.
You do realize they have one of the worst defenses in the NFL this season. Again.
I absolutely do. Absolutely do. Well,
is that,
first of all,
and we're
where
blaming
is that
Deshaun
money?
Watson for letting Brandon Allen throw for 400 yards last week? Well, Brandon Allen, who served me DoorDash 3 weeks ago at my front door, is now throwing for 400 yards against the Houston Texans defense because it's a joke. J.J. Watt lit up that locker room because nobody
he
cares.
Did.
Nobody
wait,
cares.
Wait,
it's a wait, terrible roster.
Do
to blame
think...
Deshaun Watson is unfair, Doug.
Well, I didn't. First of all, I hate when you do this. This is what you do. I really dislike when you do this, okay? You take a statement, and then you make it into something that it is not. I didn't say Mitch Trubisky is better than him, so don't say that I did. Don't say that I said I put all the blame on Deshaun Watson. But at the end of the day, in sports, okay, when you're a point guard, all that matters is your record. When you're a quarterback, all that matters is your record. And you can sit here and tell
me
about how bad...
So
hold on! I'm not done speaking.
So what does that mean?
When Bill O'Brien is vilified, but he's not vilified for being a guy who's a complete idiot. Okay, he's vilified because his ego ran amok. It ran out of control. By the way, David Johnson, who I would agree, the returns they got for the DeAndre Hopkins trade, I didn't like. Okay, David Johnson looked really good when he's finally healthy.
Yes, I got it. But what does that mean?
Okay.
But
what does it mean?
What do you mean by Mitchell Trubisky has as many wins as Deshaun Watson? What are you?
I didn't
stating?
Say that. You actually said that.
So what were you saying
I
with the records?
What I said was there is no difference in record of the franchise since you've had Deshaun Watson is viewed by many people as one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. And there is no record to point that out. If you look at Aaron Rodgers, every year he's healthy in the NFL, with the exception of the year Mike McCarthy got fired, his teams won 10 games, like everyone. The same thing with Tom Brady, the same thing with Drew Brees, the same thing with all these guys, okay? Drew Brees had terrible defenses in New Orleans, right, because they got punished for Bounty Gate, right? But, like, they've never had these type of years in New Orleans. They just have not. They've not had this type of lean years. And now when surrounded by a good supporting cast, they've been one of the elite teams in the NFL. There isn't that with the Texans. Now, are there other factors at play? Sure. J.J. Watt kept getting hurt. He's gotten older. Whitney Mercilus got older. Brian Cushing, whatever, got suspended because of PEDs. But the fact is that if you look at Deshaun Watson, they've done everything in their power. Everyone would regard Bill O'Brien as an offensive and quarterback guru, that he's done a great job with inferior talent at times. And he had DeAndre Hopkins, and he wasn't the only one who wanted to trade him. And, oh, yeah, by the way, if they could have gotten a better deal, they would have taken a better deal for DeAndre Hopkins. I think they didn't get enough, but apparently everyone around the league thought, man, you're overpaying for DeAndre Hopkins. So, anyway, the point is this, that Deshaun Watson somehow is getting a pass, whereas no other quarterback gets a pass for their win-loss record. Remember, the whole thing with Dak Prescott is, yeah, I know the numbers aren't great, but at least they win. Of course, that went out the door because they weren't winning this year when he was putting up big numbers.
So the
point is very simple, is that you can sit here and pound it in the table and tell me Deshaun Watson's great. He needs more help. Well, first of all, he might have been able to get more help if he didn't sign this gargantuan contract that wasn't hanging over their head.
He should sign a bad contract, Deshaun Watson. So, Doug, let me just see so I'm not getting your words wrong, okay?
Correct.
So, basically, Tom Savage and whatever jokers the Texans had at quarterback won the same number of games as Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Okay, but what are we taking from that? Like, that's a statement that's looking at numbers as very basic. Are you trying to say something bigger than that without saying it because there's no substance behind it?
What I'm saying is that Deshaun Watson is massively, massively overrated.
Oh,
and
my
what happens?
God. Okay. Okay. Got it.
Okay, so the four teams from the NFC that qualified for the playoffs already,
right,
what do they have in common?
So we got the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they have veteran quarterbacks. Guys who have
first,
been in the league.
First ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Yes, guys who have been in the league 7 or more years, 10 or more years. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go look at the AFC. Okay. The Bills, they have the one kind of unproven quarterback. Go ahead and give me the other teams that have made the playoffs already.
Kansas City.
That's a Hall Patrick of Fame quarterback.
Mahomes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's amazing. Yeah.
Colts.
Buffalo. Colts are on the outside, I think, right now.
The Colts are 10-5, so Tennessee's 10-5. Their quarterback's a future Hall of Famer. Pittsburgh Steelers?
Pittsburgh Steelers, yes, they are in. They were 11-0.
Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yes, they had a top five defense the entire season.
Okay, so the point is simply, and I was getting around to the point, the idea, we were talking about Booger McFarland's rant, and where I don't believe that race plays a factor in people's social media desires. Would you agree with that?
I don't. That's
is there any study that tells you that black quarterbacks are more prone to be addicted to social media than white quarterbacks?
No,
it's a generational thing. And either guys are, as you pointed out, like Baker Mayfield grabbing your phone, and you were right, or you know that's basically what it is. Or other guys that are boring, you know, Andrew Luck with a flip phone, like those dudes are boring. Trevor Lawrence of the Bible. Dude is boring. But you know what? He's locked in on football. It's a job. Now, you have to have both. You can't just be locked in on football as Cam Newton is now, but he can't throw a football, so it doesn't actually matter, right? But my issue was, like, look, when I said that the Bears, you know, that race didn't play a factor in drafting Deshaun Watson, and they don't look as dopey as some would lead you to believe, and I'm not a big Mitch Trubisky fan, but a lot of it was the context of replacing Jay Cutler and what they thought they would get in a locker room guy in Trubisky that they didn't know if they would get with Mahomes, because Mahomes wasn't ready when he got to the league, and it took a year of seasoning behind Alex Smith that helped, and he's been surrounded by an unbelievable, not just coaching staff, but support staff in terms of his skill position players at wide receiver, tight end, and at running back. Like, all of these things kind of go into the factor, and their context that matters, that actually matters. And I don't believe race plays any sort of factor at the quarterback position. Either you can or cannot play. That's all anybody cares about.
Okay, so I think I've figured it out. I did look this up. I was stunned as well. Houston Texans did win a playoff game in 2016.
Yes, they were 1-2 in the 4 years in the playoffs before he got there. They're 1-2 in the playoffs since he's gotten there.
So the first playoff appearance, they got destroyed 30-0 at home by the Kansas City Chiefs. The next year, they had to play the Raiders. And I was like, how did they beat the Raiders? Oh, that's right. Derek Carr was injured late in the season. And the Raiders started, I believe, Connor Cook, a rookie out of Michigan State. Is that accurate? Or it was some backup. I don't know who it was. He was in way over his head, and the Raiders got buried. What happened the next week? Of course, Houston, they got destroyed by the Patriots. So Deshaun Watson gets to the playoffs in his second season. First season, he gets hurt. Second season, he gets to the playoffs. They lose to the Colts at home, 21-7. Andrew Luck was still there. Last year, Deshaun Watson orchestrates an incredible comeback, beats the Bills, takes a 24-0 lead against the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Mm-hmm. And the defense, which is a dumpster fire once again, gives up 51 points and loses to the eventual Super Bowl champs.
Hey, help me out here. When Kansas City, when they're down 24-0, right?
Yeah.
They scored to make it 24-7. Does Houston get the ball back?
I would assume they did off the
kickoff. When it was then 24-14, does Houston get the ball back?
They did, yeah.
When it was then 24-21, does Houston get the ball back?
I love this. So Deshaun Watson didn't score every single time.
He didn't score ever.
Yeah, no,
ever.
They scored one more. They were up 24-0, and they had lost 51-31.
Right. Okay, so the point is that it's really amazing how Teflon that dude is. And what's crazy about it is
348 yards.
And bro, they had a 24-0 lead and got boat raced.
And Deshaun Watson's getting and he's the guy of all the people, not the coach.
No, again, this is the Jason McIntyre. This
defense.
Is the Jason McIntyre deal. Oh, take what I said and then take it to a statement which no one ever said.
But you know
which
what
is,
you're trying
which is,
to
no,
say.
No, I'm not. You're making it so I'm trying to say it.
But
what I am saying is,
what are you saying?
If I may be so bold, that Bill O'Brien catches every bit of the heat for the collapse. No one ever says, like, hey, you know what? Deshaun Watson was the quarterback for all seven of those drives. They got the football back and managed one touchdown after having a 24-0 lead. Okay, that is not all on Deshaun Watson, but it's also not all on Bill O'Brien, and it's not all on the defense. It is a team game. It's supposed to be the ultimate team game, and quarterback's record matters, and he was the quarterback. Like, look, Garoppolo collapsed in the Super Bowl. They had a lead. All he has to do is complete a couple. He has Emmanuel Sanders wide open. He overthrows it. If he underthrows it, it's PI. He misses. He misses time and again. People give Garoppolo heat for that collapse. No one has ever said, like outside of me, that, hey, yeah, is it Bill O'Brien's fault? Sure. It's also Deshaun Watson's fault.
So when Deshaun Watson can get you 31 points on the road in a playoff game, he's done his job.
No, he
you
hasn't.
You do your you job on defense if and get a friggin' stop. 31 points on offense. I've done my job. Can the defense get one stop? 51 points, Doug? And Deshaun Watson's first, his name should not be anywhere attached to that loss. That is not remotely on him.
Don't compare Jimmy Garoppolo struggling to score.
The 49ers had 20 points in the Super Bowl. Yeah, they did lead, but Kansas City could.
Is Deshaun Watson having a good year this year? He's got 30 touchdowns, 6
solid. He's having a solid year. He's having a better year than Ben Roethlisberger.
He's completing 70% of his passes.
He's also throwing to Kiki Kuti and Chad Hansen.
Hold on, but no, you told me that their team stinks.
They do stink. They have nobody but Deshaun Watson. Doug, you're looking at the basic stats, man. You got to, come on, level up and go look at the advanced numbers.
Yes,
Deshaun Watson is a top 10 quarterback.
Here's the advanced. No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
They're 4-10, dude. 4-11, excuse me. 4-11. He ain't no top 10 quarterback at 4-11. All right, we'll get back to this potentially. Are the Bills the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the playoffs? That's next on the Dan Patrick Show. But first, ever wonder just how far an extra mile really goes? Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. They offer a variety of vans, like the durable Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris, each tailored to match your work or play lifestyle. With options like blind spot assist and active lane keeping assist, plus MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather forecast, comfort control, and more. Now, what better way to go the extra mile than in your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van? You could win by entering Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. Just head to foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com to enter and get official rules for a chance to win a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van equipped with TVs and wood pellet grills. Get all the information and entry details at foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com. Sweepstakes ends January 24th, 2021. Mercedes-Benz vans, some equipment described, is optional.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Dan Patrick Show rolls on here on Fox Sports Radio alongside Jason McIntyre. I am Doug Gottlieb.
What is this, Mace from like 2004, maybe?
What?
This song? Come on, Doug. You know this. No, it's 90s. Oh, wow. Okay.
This is the 90s, dude.
Yeah. I was a young cat. A little bit young. All right,
Watson. It was a dark era.
Oh, we got our guest coming up. We have to end this Deshaun Watson discussion later. Just a reminder, okay?
Yeah. Tim Graham joins us in The Athletic covering the Buffalo Bills, who vanquished the Beast. How big was last night for Buffalo? And they're obviously already going to the playoffs, already clinched the division. But to go into New England and smack them around in the second half, how big was that for this team?
Smacked them around in the first half, too. Calling fake punts deep in their own territory. The 35-yard line. Maybe I don't want to exaggerate too much. But still, from the 35, you don't get that. That's pretty much, I guess that's Nick Folk territory with the New England Patriots for the past month or so, because they're probably not going to score. And that's the Bills thinking, well, that's how dominant we can be tonight. Went for it on fourth down 3 times, got all 3 of them. I use the phrase that even though they won the AFC East last week, I mentioned in my column that it was like crawling through the Shawshank sludge pipe and coming out the other end, and they can twirl around in the rain and they have fresh air. And this is, you know, inhaling the sweet air of freedom and kind of getting past the Patriots, sweeping them for the first time since 99 for them, 2000 for any AFC East team, which is amazing. Sean McDermott, it's 20 years of coaches for the Bills, and yeah, they went through a handful of them, but Sean McDermott became the first coach since Bill Belichick took over to beat the Patriots twice, not in a season, period, as Bill's coach. And that's how terrible it was against them for so long for Bills fans. So yeah, last night was, I think, psychological. It was symbolic, and there was some tournament ramifications for this too, because it really cinched up that they're not going to be a fourth seed. They're guaranteed now second or third. They beat the Dolphins next week and they're guaranteed two. And then they could actually lose next week's game and still possibly get it if the Steelers lose. So yeah, it was a meaningful game. And it was, if you're a Bills fan, you have to be excited to see they did not take this game lightly, because they had the division wrapped up already, and heading into the playoffs, they look like a very focused, very determined, sharp team. That's not anything we're used to seeing around here for the past two decades.
So Tim, the offense is a juggernaut. Brian Daboll will be a head coach somewhere next season. I want to ask about the defense, which has looked suspect at times this season. I know there have been injuries, but as we head into the playoffs, obviously we know they're going to be facing tougher quarterbacks. What is the confidence level in this defense of getting stops specifically against the run?
Well, that's going to be important for them, especially with various opponents that you're going to get. You know, that's been a weak spot for them going back to the start of the season, being able to A, run, or B, stop the run. And that's the big traditional thing that you're supposed to be able to do in the playoffs. They talk about as the weather gets worse and it gets colder that you're going to have to run the ball to win the Super Bowl. It's something that they really haven't, you know, gotten on track on either side. So clearly it's what you need to watch with the Bills on both sides of the ball. But, you know, like you say, Brian Daboll has just been masterful at this. Leslie Frazier is the defensive coordinator, and yes, it's Sean McDermott's defense, but they have the experience and they've shown over the course of 15 games so far that they have the savvy to figure it out against pretty much any opponent. You know, they had the two losses to Tennessee and Kansas City both earlier in the year, so that's a way for them to get their minds around not being intimidated if they were to face them in the playoffs. Then that game against the Cardinals that they lost, you know, it was one DeAndre Hopkins miracle catch away from being on a 9-game win streak.
Yeah.
How do they keep Brian Daboll in the offseason?
I don't know that you can. I think at this stage of his career, you know, he's older. You know, he's not a young hotshot coordinator. This isn't Cliff Kingsbury. This isn't Adam Gase, thank God. That is emerging with some sort of label as the next great thing. He's been in this league for a long time, and if he were to get an opportunity to be a head coach, my guess is he's going to have to take it. Now, these jobs just don't come along that often. Remember, you know, you think back, or I at least think back to my years when I was at ESPN, covered the AFC East, and Rex Ryan was talking every year about Brian Schottenheimer, and you know, he's destined to be a next head coach. We hope we don't lose him. And myself included, were actually writing stories where you say, well, can Brian Schottenheimer afford to take this head coaching job in this, you know, X location that is bad? They have a bad quarterback situation. They don't have a good draft pick. The GM isn't quite what you'd want as a new head coach. Well, Brian Schottenheimer here 13 years later is still looking for an offer or, you know, a job, whatever it is. I think you have to take it when it comes up. And the one good thing about the NFL these days, and with the way the power structures go, is that Brian Schottenheimer, if he is offered a job, he's probably going to be able to leverage as much control or power as he wants relative the general manager or the football operations that's in place. Now, maybe he comes into a situation where he helps get to hire that guy and come in lockstep like the Bills have with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. Or there's somebody who's in place and he can, you know, just make an arrangement. So I see it in the NFL these days, the coach, and especially a play calling, offensive minded coach, they seem to be able to come in and set things up the way they want it. So I don't see that there's going to be many, if any, type of situations that Brian Dable would look at and say, I'd rather just go back and be the Bills offensive coordinator. I'm going to pass on this one and hope that something else comes up down the road.
Tim Graham joining us from The Athletic. He covers the Buffalo Bills for years. He's covered the AFC East. The Josh Allen thing, how do you, if you're to split up the pie, right? I mean, I think adding Stephon Diggs, giving him an unbelievable weapon, maybe the best route runner in the NFL, at least in the conversation of it, right? That helps. Having Brian Daboll helps. But also his own ability to, you know, go outside of the Bills and refine his skill, I think that helps as well. If how much of it is on the talent they surround him with, the coaching, and how much of it is on just his own personal improvement?
Oh, that's a great question. And I think it's one of those deals that Bills fans, if they want to think about it that hard, they can just kind of back away from that conversation so they don't blow a gasket or their synopses don't fry out. They can just say, you know what, it doesn't matter because we have so many of these things working in concert. You know, Brian Dable's been around for a while. I'm not going to say it's Brian Dable. He's been an offensive coordinator before without much success. Yes, he has evolved. And yes, I think he does deserve a chance to be a head coach. I mean, I'm not belittling that, but Brian Dable's been out there before. He's never really had these types of weapons at his disposal. I think that makes things easier for him when Stephon Diggs shows up. I think Stephon Diggs is kind of the guy that unlocked it all for both Brian Dable and Josh Allen. But you can't overlook the accuracy getting better. But Stephon Diggs is not 7'8" and can run around, you know, like Christian McCaffrey. He is not absolving Josh Allen's accuracy issues. Yes, he does make an incredible catch every game, pretty much, it seems. But Josh Allen's accuracy has been incredible to see because that's something you're not supposed to get with a young quarterback. You know, that's been one of the things that you hear every year at the draft is you can't coach accuracy. If you're inaccurate coming out of college, you're going to be an inaccurate pro quarterback. You can teach footwork and you can get the experience in reading defenses and in the film room, but generally accuracy is something you're born with. Well, he's had some great coaching along the way, and he still came into this season with those question marks. So things, you know, with Ken Dorsey, the quarterback's coach of the Bills, and his private quarterback's coach and everybody that he works with in the off season, they've figured something out. So I think that Josh Allen and the people around him have helped him become a much better quarterback. I'd hate to see what the Bills look like without Stephon Diggs. But one thing that they have learned is without John Brown, they haven't missed a beat. Yeah. John Brown was their best receiver last year. We haven't seen him in several weeks, and this offense has not missed a beat. I don't think that Stephon Diggs is so good that he can reinvent a quarterback and overcome the loss of John Brown and the absence of a run game, pretty much. He's not that good. I think it's Josh Allen.
Tim, is there a team outside of the Chiefs that makes you a little nervous for the Bills? It looks like they'll probably open up with Cleveland, perhaps Baltimore, maybe Miami. But, you know, they've faced almost every team in the AFC playoff race, right? They've faced Pittsburgh, Chiefs, Titans. How do you think they match up? I'm most curious about teams that aren't the Chiefs.
And they've beaten some good teams, too. You know, the win over Seattle, I think, is one of those wins that was incredibly important for them in terms of, hey, we can beat anybody. Baltimore, I think that's the sexy answer, or that's the most common, maybe the cliche answer that you get. Oh, you don't want to face Baltimore. I'm no NFL analyst, but there's a reason Baltimore is not in the playoff tournament yet, you know? Just because Lamar Jackson's your quarterback doesn't, you know, yeah, it's an X factor. That, so yes, I just said it's cliche to say it, but that's kind of my answer, because Lamar Jackson can beat you in two different ways. Like I said, though, Russell Wilson's that type of quarterback too. Maybe not, you know, they're different, but the guy who can tuck it and run if you're going to put too many people in coverage. Baltimore and, of course, Tennessee. You know, Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill combination, they're fun to watch. And the reason they're fun to watch is that they get loose on a regular basis, regardless of who they're playing. They get in the open field. They steamroll you. You know, they make you look stupid. Well, Derrick Henry makes you look stupid. And I'm going to say Tennessee. And I know that that's kind of an easy answer because they beat right. the Bills already, and you can just say, okay, well, those are the two teams that beat Buffalo. But I think Tennessee's dangerous on offense.
Yeah, I think Baltimore is as well, especially considering their ability to run the football and they have negative experience. Both teams have negative experience in the playoffs, but I think that can be a good thing. If they stick to their game plan. Tim, great stuff, man. You do an awesome job covering the Bills. It's obviously a fun year and a great squad to cover. We appreciate you joining us on the Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Tim Graham. Read his work in The Athletic or follow him on Twitter @ByTimGraham. All right, we got a bunch of things to wrap up. Jason wants to get on the Deshaun Watson debate. We haven't mentioned the Lakers losing to the Trailblazers last night. And, oh, yeah, by the way, where will Cam Newton play next season? All that next, The Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
The Dan Patrick Show rolls on Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by Mercedes-AMG Driving Performance. Tomorrow's special treat for you. LeVar Arrington, who I co-hosted with yesterday, Plexico Burris, who's a great dude, and TJ Husmanzada, they have a podcast and radio show called Up On Game. They'll be guest hosting the Dan Patrick Show. I think you really, really, really like that one. Me and Jason McIntyre are with you for the next 15 minutes. All right, J-Mac, where did you want to go with the Deshaun Watson take? My whole Deshaun Watson take is like, look, I've always liked Deshaun Watson. Liked him in college, liked him as a pro, loved the fact that he came back from a collapsed lung and took a van to Jacksonville to win a game for the Texans. I think he's a stud dude. There's nothing statistically in terms of wins and losses with an offense that's built around him. They did everything they could possibly have done, and he's had some bad luck. That shows me that he's at the elite level, because at the end of the day, yes, as quarterback, you are judged based upon your wins and losses, and there is no discernible difference between the Texans before they had Deshaun Watson and since they had Deshaun Watson, despite all the attempts they've made to fix any of their issues.
Judged on your wins and losses. Jimmy Garoppolo got $28 million from the 49ers. He hadn't won jack squat with the Patriots. So, on Deshaun Watson, I know you like
hold on, focus,
right?
He got the money after he won, what was it, last five games or whatever?
Five wins, $28 million. Stop, Doug. Okay, let's go to Pro Football Focus. Well, no, right?
You have to extend him, but go ahead.
Pro Football Focus grades every quarterback pass. They don't care what the record is. They don't care about the defense. They don't care about special teams. They grade the quarterback passes.
Yes.
This season, yes. Number one, Aaron Rodgers, highest grade.
Who, by the way, Pro Football Focus said he had a bad year last year and that his skills were beginning to fade.
This is just the first part of the arc, first layer. Yeah. Number two, Deshaun Watson. Number three, Tom Brady. Number four, Pat Mahomes. Five, Russell Wilson. Ben Roethlisberger does not check in until number 26, right below Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay? Over the hill, no question.
Quarterbacks under pressure this season. Deshaun Watson has thrown the third most touchdown passes under pressure. He has been a clutch quarterback because we know the offensive line stinks. Now let's go to the Football Outsiders, who put out some really good numbers. They currently have Deshaun Watson as the fifth best quarterback this season. They grade only passes. They don't care. Well, they grade the runs as well by the quarterback. They don't care what J.J. Watt and the defense is doing. Okay, you get him in a 28-0 hole, doesn't matter. How is Deshaun Watson performing? He right now, fifth best quarterback, according to the DVOA metric that Football Outsiders puts out. So when I say Deshaun Watson is an incredible quarterback, I don't care how bad the secondary is and that the linebackers could not defend a cup of warm urine, okay? That's how bad this Houston Texans defense is. So let's not blame Deshaun Watson for the 4-11 record, okay?
Okay, you're right. They're four wins.
The GM was so inept, they don't have a top five pick next year. That goes to the Dolphins in the Laremy Tunsil bungled trade. All right, so they're going to be terrible again next year.
How was it bungled?
It was a horrible trade. Are you kidding me?
How was it bungled? The part that they messed up was not having
a contract done.
Right.
So then they had to overpay Tunsil, and now they don't have a top five pick when they're a four win team.
To trade for a left tackle when you're trying to protect Deshaun Watson, which has allowed him to perform quite well. It's like, actually, your argument is running counter to what you're saying. Right, you said that they messed up the trade for DeAndre Hopkins. I think DeAndre Hopkins is great. Do I think he's worth his new contract? Probably not. Like the issues that Bill O'Brien had and Jack Easterby had or whatever were he wouldn't practice, right? And I don't actually care that he doesn't practice in Arizona, but it is an issue that people keep bringing up is how many times he's a healthy scratch of practice. Look, the Houston Texans have four wins this year. Do you know who those four wins are against?
Awful teams, I'm assuming.
Two against the Jaguars, one against the Lions, one against the Patriots. Yeah. They're a terrible football team 100%. That has beaten four of the worst teams in the league.
Fact. Deshaun Watson's still a great quarterback.
I don't think he's a great quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback.
The numbers say he's top five. Let me just add one more comical note here. So when you trade DeAndre Hopkins, you're like, all right, who do we got? We got Kenny Stills. Okay. He's been up and down. All right. We still got Will Fuller. He gets hurt every year. Oh, he just got popped for PEDs. Will Fuller, it's always something with him. Well, we got Brandon Cooks. I mean, the guy's a walking concussion. He's had like six of them in the last 5 years. It's unfortunate, but that's what Brandon Cooks had. And what happens this year? He gets hurt. So, like, when you give away a guy in DeAndre Hopkins who is very reliable, never misses games, he's always there, catches everything. I think he led the league in fewest amount of drops over like a three-year span. Like, you're making bad decisions. That's just all around bad.
No one's disputing that. I think what they were trying to do was free up money once the David Johnson thing contract expires so that they could get him a better supporting cast. O'Brien's ego couldn't get him through what was a really rough start to the season because they played a schedule where you're playing the best teams in the league to start.
Doug, I'm seeing a lot, and I try not to do this, go on social media and see a lot of people enjoying the back and forth. Essentially, you've taken shots at Deshaun Watson, Steph Curry, and you defended Carson Wentz today. I mean, this has been a show.
Again, okay. And this has been a show. And I love you, but this is what you do. You say what you're saying is, that's not what I've said. I've said Deshaun Watson is really good. He's just not an elite quarterback. I said you shouldn't have drafted Jalen Hurts because he's not the answer eventually. And I said Steph Curry, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer and a multi-time NBA champion, is not really a point guard. This is the Dan Patrick
Show. We're out!
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.